Good evening to the remnant. Good evening and welcome to 7x70. This is Ranch Wrangler Richard. And I'm trying to get the buttons pushed here. Pushed that one too many times. But we are, that's live radio, I guess. And we are coming to you live this March 16th, 2017. Tomorrow is St. Patrick's Day. We went to the St. Patrick's Day parade last Saturday down in Fort Collins and enjoyed it. The girls danced in it and it was good. It's part of our culture. It's part of our ancestry. And even though it's not celebrated in a completely Christian way, it sure was good to see our people out and about and celebrating and remembering St. Patrick's Day. Boy, there's a whole lot to St. Patrick. We talked a little bit about it Saturday morning. Jason mentioned a few things that can be found in the book, The Drama of the Lost Disciples. And so hopefully you're somewhat familiar with St. Patrick. Tomorrow is St. Patrick's Day, the 17th of March. And so we encourage you to, remember it. Maybe you'll wear a little green. Maybe you'll have a parade to go to tomorrow or Saturday. Anyway, we are coming to you live March 16th from the Radio Ranch. And what a beautiful day it's been here. We hope that you've had as beautiful a day wherever you are as we have had here. And we'll have the phone lines open up in a little bit, but we better go to our Heavenly Father before we get too far along in this program by ourselves. Well, Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for this day, this beautiful day of life that you've given us. And it has been a beautiful day, O Lord. And I thank you for it. I thank you for the sun, for the clouds, Lord, for the warm temperatures. Lord, for the air we breathe, and Lord, just for your safety and your blessings that you've poured out upon us. And Father, I thank you for the blessings that you've poured out upon the remnant all over this country, and Lord, all over the world, because we know that your people are scattered from one end to the other of this great world that you've made. And we thank you for your blessings. Thank you, Lord, that you think of us and that you love us. And Lord, we know that we are just dust is all we are. And we are here. Our life is but a mist. It is but a vapor. It is but just a poof. And that's it. The few years that we get here, Lord. But Lord, help us to live the years that you give us, rejoicing always, not grumbling or complaining, but thanking you for the time you give us, thanking you for the opportunities that you give us to share your glory and to share your good news with your people. Lord, thank you for the trials and the struggles that you give us, Lord, because we know that that's when we grow. That's when we grow closer to you, and that's when we come to realize that we can rely on you, and we are not to rely on ourselves. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for our pastor that went before us, Lord, that paved the way, that poured the foundation, Lord, on that rock of Jesus Christ and built this ministry and made a way to be able to share your true gospel, the truth of your word, all the gospel from Genesis to Revelations and every book in between, to share that with the remnant, the truth, Lord. It may not be politically correct, and it may not be correct with the signs of the times and the way the people feel, but Lord, let this truth go out and let it continue to be biblically correct. And we thank you for that, Lord, and that's our desire, that you would let us continue to do that, continue to build upon this foundation, continue to build upon your truth, and continue to get your truth out to your people. We do it unashamedly, Lord. And we thank you, praising you, Lord Jesus, our Savior, King of kings, Lord of lords, the great I am, God with us, Jehovah. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Well, Remnant, again, thanks for tuning in. We'll have the phone lines open tonight, 307-745-5913, if you want to call in. Wanted to talk a little bit about discipline, but leading into that, there's a movie opening up tonight. I believe it opens tonight. I think that's what it is. Beauty and the Beast. And it's a Disney movie, and I wouldn't give you a plug nickel to go see it, and I'm not going to go see this one, I can tell you that. And I'm sure going to encourage those that I talk to and my family not to do to do the same and not go. And it is because Disney, as part of the world, part of this sinful, fallen world that it is, they had, when they rebuilt remade Beauty and the Beast, they had to go and put in a queer scene. They had to make one of the characters, and to quote it, unsure of himself, unsure of his feelings toward his friend. One minute he wants to help him, the other minute he might want to kiss him, and it's filth, is what it is. Remember, the Bible tells us that Satan disguises himself as an angel of light. And so, when we see things, we have to have the biblical discernment to determine if those things are right or wrong. Oh my gosh, he said right or wrong. Write him up. Send him to school for sensitivity training. Who are you to decide right or wrong? Well, I am a servant of the Lord Jesus Christ, who created right and who tells us what it is. And when you turn away from him and his way, well, that's wrong. And when you do what he says not to do, that's wrong. And so it's not that hard, it really isn't, to determine what's right or wrong. It's what the Bible says. Got a little editorial that a person sent me. I thought I'd share a few comments about that very thing. It's what the Bible says. Now, I bring this up because in the big theaters, we have a little theater here in town, and they're building another one, and several of them down in Colorado, and of course they're all over. So this Beauty and the Beast, especially with this filthy queer scene in it, they're expecting it to set records. Well, I'm expecting the Christians to not take their children to it and to stay home. And there's one movie theater in Alabama, and I think it's a drive-in, Henniger Drive-In Theater, H-E-N-A-G-A-R, Henniger Drive-In, is not going to show it. And I mentioned this last Sunday morning. It caught my eye, and in last Sunday morning when I did the scriptural review of the news, is that these people aren't lukewarm. See, God doesn't want us to be lukewarm. We talked about that then, and I think everybody should be familiar with that, that we aren't to be lukewarm. God himself says, I would rather that you were hot or cold. Be hot for me, be on fire for me, or be cold, turn your shoulder to me, but at least I know where you stand. Don't be lukewarm. Don't be that mugwump on the fence, with your mug on one side and your wump on the other, as our pastor used to put it. And so it's encouraging, and I wanted to share that with you tonight. It's encouraging when we see that there are those out there that are not lukewarm. And so I had a couple quotes here from this Henniger Drive-In Theater. It's out down in Alabama. And it says, we're not going to show the new Beauty and the Beast. And this is a quote from the owners. He says, if we cannot take our 11-year-old granddaughter and 8-year-old grandson to see a movie, we have no business watching it ourselves. If I can't sit through a movie with God or Jesus sitting by me, then we have no business showing it. And I say, hurrah. I say, praise the Lord. When I read this, I was encouraged when I saw this news article. That, and as far as I know, they've stood by it. They went on to say that they recognize that some might disagree with their decision, but advise that their theater is run in accordance with their Christian faith. And if you don't like it, well, then don't go. You're not going to get to watch that filthy movie there anyway. And so I was encouraged. I hope that it's encouraging to you. I would encourage you to pray for this Henniger Drive-In Theater in Alabama. Pray for the owners that they would be strengthened. Let's do that right now. Heavenly Father, we do. We lift these members of the body. These, Lord, that we have not met personally. I don't even know their name. I couldn't pick them out of a crowd, except maybe by the light of Christ that I'm sure is shining through them. But Lord, I pray for them, the owners here at this Henniger Drive-In, that you would strengthen them. And Lord, I ask you to send your angels to protect them and to bless them, Lord. Bless them. Let them have a better movie that they're showing, and let it be a blessing to them and a blessing to your people. In Jesus' name, amen. It was encouraging. Well, why wouldn't they show it? Why not? Well, again, Revelation 3 says we need to be cold or hot, one or the other. And these people are not, when you read on through it, then I've got the article here. I think there was one, maybe there was one other. No, it was about somebody else. But they run their business. They don't just have their Christianity, their church going, their religion on Sunday. And see, that's how the world wants it to be. Oh, whatever you're doing on the weekend, that's up to you. Whatever you do in your own home. But don't let me see it. Well, these people are Christians. It's their way of life. And so I put that out to you, Remnant, and it made me think about that. Do we take this stand? Are we this hot for Jesus? This hot for what is right, for what is proper? And are we willing to lose money, to lose business, as these people have been? When it comes down to that, if it comes down to choosing something that is right or wrong, something that is morally right or wrong, and biblically right or biblically wrong, and we all get different crosses to bear. We all get those tests and those trials in our lives. And I don't have a drive-in movie theater, so I won't get the trial that they did at the Henniger Drive-In Movie Theater. And you might not either. But we all get our tests. We all get our ordeals. We all get our decisions where we get to choose. We get to make that choice. Am I going to stand for Jesus? Am I going to say no if I'm asked to do something wrong, or if I have the opportunity to sin? If I have the opportunity to do what I know is wrong, am I going to do it, or am I going to just say no? Sometimes we don't say no. Well, if that's happened, you can repent. You can return to God and ask for forgiveness and confess your sins, and He'll forgive them. And then you can get back into that relationship and learn from that mistake. And when you get to take the test again, because you always get to take the test again, it seems like, well, then learn from it. Learn from the Word and make a better choice the next time. In Mark 8:38, we read, "For whoever is ashamed of me," and that's Jesus Christ, "and my words, in this adulterous and sinful generation, the Son of Man will also be ashamed of him when he comes in the glory of his Father with the holy angels." I do not want to be ashamed of Jesus Christ or his words. And if there's times that, and I know you don't want either, you don't want to be ashamed either, brother, sister, Christian that's out there. But sometimes things will come up that maybe we don't stand up the way we should. Maybe we are a little more on the lukewarm side than the hot. And that happens. That's why the warning is there. Is because God knows that's how His people are. One day it's, yes, Moses, oh yes. And the next day it's who are you, Moses? One day it's Jesus coming in, they're laying their coats and palm branches down. Hosanna in the highest, praise ye the Lord, oh, the Messiah. And the next day it's crucify him. We are a fickle people. But the Bible tells us God would rather us be hot or cold, not in the middle. And we want to be on his side. So when the opportunity arises, don't be ashamed of him or his words. Or his words. And that brings me to this. I got a brother down in Louisiana sent an email to me today, and it's a little editorial, I guess you'd call it, from Matt Walsh. And Matt Walsh, I think, is a Christian, and he writes for The Blaze. I think he's a Christian anyway. But a couple things I wanted to share with you. And he's got a I like his headline. It says, "Our modern opinions are irrelevant." Our modern opinions are irrelevant. God's word is not up for vote. And he goes into it talking about how there's so many of the churches today that have women pastors. And the majority of the ones that have women pastors, they also are okay with homosexuals and same-sex marriages and all that stuff. And he doesn't come out and say it, but what we see is that so many of the modern-day so-called churches have stepped away from the true, the inerrant Word of God, and they've just become like the world. And that's just the exact opposite. That in the Bible, that's called the apostasy. That's the complete reversal of how things should be. See, the church, the body of Christ, is to go out and change the world to make it like Christ, not to change the Bible and church and worship of God Almighty more like the world. But that's the way we want it. That's the way the world wants it. If you've been reading your Bible reading plan, you read just last week through Samuel, where Samuel comes up, the prophet, and he judges Israel, and they do real well. Well, he's getting old, and the people come up, and they say, "We don't want another judge. We want a king. We want a king like everybody else." And he warned them. God said, "Nope, you go ahead and do it. They're not turning against you. They're turning against me." And so he gave him a king. And we've been paying for it ever since. The Lord God was our king back then. Before Saul, before David. But we wanted to be then like everybody else. And unfortunately, that is what has come back into the churches and Christianity. People want to be Christians, but they want to be like everybody else. The old joke about the people, the things not recognized. The Pope, he doesn't recognize the Protestants. And the Jews, they don't recognize Jesus. And the Baptists, they don't recognize each other when they see each other in the liquor store. Well, see, it doesn't matter. We are to be separate. We are to be different. Because the world, well, the world accepts sin. The world pushes it, promotes it, it loves it. And the world, well, the Christians have not kept themselves separate. One little quote here, and I'll move on. But he goes on and says, "We're told that the family is, as he calls it, the domestic church. And as the domestic church, the family is supposed to reflect the church. In that domestic church, the man is put at the head, because we read, the head of every man is Christ, and the head of a wife is her husband, and the head of Christ is God." That's what it says there in Ephesians. And when Paul writes there, he links the family and the church. The family is such an integral part of Christianity. When we read in the Bible about elders, about how elders are supposed to be, and each and every one of us men should strive to be an elder, should strive to be a deacon. If not in the local church, we should strive to meet those requirements. You meet those requirements and you'll get a church. You'll have an opportunity to be a deacon or an elder for someone or for some group or in some way. But don't go looking for the group or the church or the people and then want to be that deacon or elder. That's the cart before the horse. And I just use that as an example because in the description of one wanting to be a deacon or an elder, it talks about being the husband of one wife and having raised children and having their home in order, because those things are so important to being a good Christian, to being a proper Christian. They are. Now, does that mean that if you're you have to have all these things? No, but that is what we are to strive for. And there are seasons in our lives, and sometimes it is more apparent to us Right now we're in winter out here in the at the Radio Ranch and all over. And we're the trees are still, the leaves are gone, the trees look all dead and bare, and it's like that just about all over. Spring is just around the corner, coming up really just after the weekend, coming up on Monday. I'm looking forward to it. But in the season that we're in, it's just that season of winter. It looks like everything's dead. We're just kind of getting by. We're anticipating. We're looking forward to spring. And it's that way sometimes in our lives. Sometimes it's that ebb and flow. We that's certainly understood. That's not what's talked about here. But the big part and that I like what he puts here is our opinion means absolutely nothing in the grand scheme. Had a brother call in a couple weeks ago on the Wednesday night prayer meeting, and he made mention about that he didn't think he needed to be married in the eyes of man and the unlawful laws that man and government have, and if he wanted to have sex with this woman, that he didn't have to be married in the eyes of man, and that it wasn't a sin. And I haven't had a chance to speak to him since. I think I remember it right. And I think we shared with him that, brother, it really doesn't matter what you think. It's what does the Bible say? If we're going to be Christians, see that there's a right and there's a wrong according to what the Bible says, according to what God, through his Holy Spirit, had the men that he wanted to write down to have and to share with us today, that they did. And God's way is right. His word is right. And it doesn't matter what we think. And that's what Matt Walsh kind of talks about in this. He says, our opinion means nothing in the grand scheme. All of creation is ruled by God and God alone. He is the one king, the one lawmaker and judge. We have no say in this. He has spoken. It's in his word. And what he has spoken is right. The Bible, we read that in Psalms as we were reading Psalms this week. His ways are right. And we have to remember that. And maybe this is review, but it is important that we remember that as we are bombarded with all this leftist and ungodly and unchristian behavior and things that are out there. We need to remember this. And we need to be able to go back and be reminded of this. Wait a minute. God has said it. It doesn't matter. And that's what I shared with that brother that called. It doesn't matter what you think. What does the Bible say? And in regard to his situation, sex outside of marriage is a sin. It's as simple as that. Sex was created by our God for procreation, and marriage is the avenue for that. Anyway, that's what the Bible teaches us that, and we go back to that foundation, and we have to stand on that foundation. Got a caller. Let me get the button pushed here. Good evening. Welcome to 7x70.
Yes, good evening, Richard.
Hey, good evening, Joe. How are you?
Yeah. Oh, pretty good. Yeah, we're digging out here, slow but sure.
Well, good. We had a beautiful day. We're out in just barely a sweatshirt. We cut some trees and cleaned out some corrals.
I remember you saying that. That's a blessing to you guys. I hope you had enough rain and snow and so forth to fill those mountains.
They're pretty white. They're melting fast.
Yeah.
But they are. Fair amount of snow. Thank you.
I heard you talk about the apostasy here, and I this morning I was looking into the recent, Volume 2 newsletter.
Yes.
And the testing the spirits, it didn't really say apostasy, but it was leaning toward that. So I don't know, for some reason or another, I looked up apostasy, and it says Etymology Dictionary, and Pastor Peters mentioned this online website a couple of times, I think. And it says, from the late 14th century, renunciation or abandonment or neglect of established religion. And that in and of itself, when you think about that, that's not a sin.
Joe, what I'm applying it to is Christianity, is how the apostasy that has come, the abandonment of Christianity, not of religion, but of Christianity, and replacing it with religion of the world is what's happened.
Yeah. It's basically humanism.
It is.
The list of words here is quite interesting. When you go down this list of words, it says, renegade. It's a noun from the 1580s, apostate. And that caught my eye, too. Probably with a change of suffix from the Spanish, renegado. Originally, Christian turned Muslim.
There you go.
That was pretty interesting to me because
the
Spanish for decades and decades have been fighting these Muslims back in the days when they ran across Europe and so forth. Roman Catholicism basically just cowered behind their stone walls and let these infidels come in.
Right. And that's why the term the apostate church. It's the church that is turned from the simple, the true teachings of Jesus Christ and of the apostles and of the disciples and of the Bible, because it is different, and that so permeates our society today. I've got that Volume 2 newsletter, since you brought it up. I want to read that first paragraph of, and the article is Testing the Spirits, and it's self-explanatory. Regardless of when or where a spirit appears, and I would say also, because many people think, well, a spirit, well, I didn't see a spirit going across the land, a spirit could be a thought. A spirit could be a desire, and so remember that the Bible, I think, clearly teaches that. So regardless of when or where a spirit or a thought or a desire appears, through a dream, a vision, a voice, or a thought, and regardless of how it is represented, whether as an angel of light, as Jesus, as God, or as a Bible prophet, there are three tests that will identify any spirit that can have an influence over us. And these tests, three tests to determine whether it's from God or from an enemy. And then the article goes through and gives you what those three tests are. And it's things that we've learned that that work. Things from the Bible that work. And because many times you'll hear people say, well, I had a vision. And the Bible talks about visions. That's not no problem with that. The Bible talks about visions. In the last days, your young men will dream dreams and see visions, and absolutely. But we're to test the spirit. We're to test the vision to see if it's of God. And I can give you a quick rundown. If you don't have, folks, if you don't have Volume 2, I don't have time tonight to read all this article, but if you don't have Volume 2 of the Dragon Slayer newsletter, write to us. We'll send you one. You can read this article, and you can test the spirits. If you've had thoughts, if you've had visions, if you think you've had demons or dreams or spirits or whatever it may be, and you want to test them to see if they're of God, this is right out of the Bible, and you can do that. Our address is Scriptures for America, SFA, P.O. Box 766, LaPorte, Colorado, 80535. And we're on the internet at scriptures4america.org. You can read the newsletter there. But we are to do that. We are to test the spirits. And it touches base in here on several different items. And you know, one thing you can do just as a thought test is the words of Jesus Christ. Christ said, "I came to bring abundant life." And of course, that's right after he says, "The thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy." And see, there's that right and wrong. You've got Christ that is right, that came to bring life and life abundantly. And then the thief that comes to steal, kill, and destroy. So if you have a thought, if you have what you think is a spirit, if you have a desire, if you have a vision, what is the fruit of that? What is the fruit that's going to come from that? Is it life and life abundant of Jesus Christ? Or is it to steal, kill, and destroy? And that's just one of the ways But just for a little extra there, one of the ways that you can, you know, you can say, is this of God? We the thoughts that we have, we think, well, they're always my thoughts. They're always my thoughts. Or sometimes God gives me thoughts, and that's it. Well, if God can give you thoughts, guess what? The enemy can give you thoughts as well. And we have to, and that's one of the reasons that Ramrod put together that article, is we have to test the spirits. We don't always know. You can read the story of James and John that were walking with Christ in the flesh, walking right there, and had been with him for a couple of years. And they go to, they want to kill some people over there because they're not following Jesus. And Jesus says, you don't know what spirit you're of. And so we have to remember and maybe be a little humble and realize that even though maybe we've read the Bible several times and we've been a Christian for years and years and we think we've got it all figured out, that just as those that were walking with Christ at times did not know what spirit they were of, there might be times in our lives, and we all need to, Remnant, all over, at least realize that there might be times that we don't know what spirit we're of. And if we can realize that, now doesn't mean that spirit overcomes us, but when we realize that, well, it's a humbling thing, but it's also a growth. It is a growing thing in Christianity that happens. And you know, in one way, how do you know? Well, one way, you can ask. Joe, doesn't the Bible say, what's the Bible say if you ask? What do you get?
Yep. You have not because you do not ask.
That's right.
Ask not.
That's right.
And, some translations. But yeah. Anyway, before I lose my train of thought here.
Sure, go ahead.
Not to cut you off there, my friend.
No, that was my point.
Below the word renegade, apostate from Spanish renegado, originally Christian turned Muslim, it says to deny or renege. And we know what the word renege is in context and stuff.
Right.
General sense of turncoat is from the 1660s. And right below there, there's a word pervert.
Well, that's
and
what
it's
it
very
is.
Interesting. If anybody is interested in English words, just get the online etymology dictionary there. Pervert from 1660s. One who has forsaken a doctrine or system regarded as true.
There you go.
Apostate.
Yes.
From pervert, verb. Psychological sense of one who has a perversion of the sexual instinct. Is attested from 1897. Havelock Ellis, originally especially of homosexuals.
They've so turned from the
truth. There's such a train of thought regarding our words.
There is.
So
there
is. That is really very interesting.
Well, you know, Joe, all the other peoples of the earth, you know, the Chinese that have been around for 8,000 years before us, so to speak, and of course the honorable red man Indian that was in this, the Native American and the Zulu tribesmen, they all have that type of written language and that type of depth to the story. To the words and the meanings and all that, right? You believe that, don't you? we sometimes forget that we are being dumbed down as a society. There used to be a time that you didn't have to look that dictionary up online because people would have it and people would know. We're showing rebroadcasting the Jezebel series right now on Sundays with Pastor, and in the last, either this past Sunday or the one before, he talked about the word nice and how it means stupid, and how he didn't want his boys to be nice, his grandsons and the boys in the church, and he didn't, I don't want you to be nice. We're not nice guys. We're not stupid. And it's how our words have changed, and the people, they just go along with it. Another example is Judeo-Christianity. Let me tell you something, folks. This country was not founded on a Judeo-Christian ethic. A Judeo-Christian ethic is a spell. It is a double-mindedness. It is holding two opposites together at the same time, like two big powerful magnets. You know, you try to put them together and they always push apart. You have to, you try to put the opposite ends and or the similar ends, however that works. But it's opposites. They push apart. They don't mix. It's oil and water. Judaism denies that Jesus is the Christ. Hello, McFly. Are we getting through? And I'm not talking to you, Joe. I'm talking to the remnant out there.
Well, you may actually be talking to me.
Because,
but anyway,
Judeo-Christianity.
Well, in my earlier life. Anyway.
Mine too. But it's those words. And that's how it ties in, is those words. We don't realize. We don't go look. We're not disciplined enough to go look for ourselves and find out and then live our lives according to that truth that we find out.
Yeah, and regarding the Antichrist, aside from the Masonic Jesuit connection there in the beginning of this, the colonies here on the East Coast, the so-called Jew, when they started coming in here, even in those days, he was centered in and around the New York area, which was called New Amsterdam. And isn't it interesting that in medieval times and during the Renaissance, Amsterdam in Holland was the center of Jewish commerce and banking. And then even in Venice, Italy, and so forth.
It was
just by natural progression. They wanted to come here because they saw the prophet.
Yes,
and they were basically corralled into an area where they were accepted. The majority of their people were there, and they were able to ply their trade. And that's Mark Quesada goes into this, and others, that the original Wall Street was the place where they stuck them, and nobody wanted to deal with them because they were so filthy. And they built a wall around their little enclave, their little shtetl, so to speak.
That was
the original meaning of Wall Street in New York City.
What do you think
to be called Manhattan there?
What do you think that giant bull's down there? That big calf, that golden calf that they claim as their god. Because it is.
Yep.
Absolutely.
All right. Joe? Well, we'll let you go there, Richard. Thanks for taking my call, and we'll talk to you later.
Thank you, Joe. God bless.
Okay.
All right.
Same to you.
Folks, lines are open. We've got about almost 15 minutes left tonight. 307-745-5913. Are you ashamed of him and his word? Don't be. But how are you going to know his word? How are you going to know his word if you don't read it? It takes a discipline to be, well, it takes discipline to be good or to be worthy or to be knowledgeable at anything. And, you know, many times we will be disciplined with our habits. We're disciplined with our work. We set our alarm, we get up, do whatever we have to do in the morning. We leave at the time we have to leave. We drive to work, whether it's a 10-minute commute or an hour and a half. And we have the things we need. We have our discipline for work. We have our school. Maybe you're still in school and listening in. Or your discipline at the gym. We go to the gym. We do this workout, this type of stuff. We're disciplined with our children. We know. We let them know you don't say certain words. You don't act certain ways. Those type things. We might be disciplined, most people are, with brushing their teeth. I know my children aren't. We have to stay on them all the time about it. There's that discipline again. But many times we are, or taking out the garbage. My children certainly aren't disciplined with that. But we're working on it. But I'm talking about having a discipline, a good habit, to where we know this is what we have to do, and then we do it. We know that it's something, whether it's work or school or taking out the garbage, we know we have to do it. How about this? We're disciplined with putting fuel in our vehicle. Because what happens if you don't? You eventually run out, right? You're going to be walking. And so there are some things that we know we have to do, regardless. Well, to be a Christian, we have to have a godly discipline. And I'm hoping to bring a few of these either with some live church services or some little scriptural insights, these different disciplines. But one of them is discipline of mind. We have to have that good, godly discipline of mind, of controlling our thoughts. And so I ask, do you have the mind of Christ? We're told to have the mind of Christ, aren't we? We are. See if we can flip over. I think we've got time. 1 Corinthians 2, 16. See if that's the right one I wanted to read. 1 Corinthians 2, 16, yes. Who knows the mind of the Lord? I've got a different version here tonight, a different sword. New English Bible tonight. New English Bible sword. And it says, who knows the mind of the Lord? Who can advise him? We, however, possess the mind of Christ. Now, that doesn't mean that we influence God, but that we are to have taken our thoughts captive, and we are to be constantly renewed. Let's flip over to Romans. We've got time for a couple of scriptures, I think. Romans 12. We'll read verses 1 and 2. Therefore, my brothers, I implore you by God's mercy to offer your very selves to him, a living sacrifice dedicated and fit for his acceptance, the worship offered by mind and heart. And we are to be constantly renewed in our minds. Just like we have to constantly put gas or diesel in our vehicle, whatever it was that we have. And so I put a question to you. Do you think Christianly? Do you think as a Christian? Do you think having your mind renewed? It reminds me of computer programming. Jason has had to build us some new computers here at the Radio Ranch over the last few months. We software gets better in memory and everything else, and sometimes our computers just get old. But those computers have to be programmed a certain way. And one of the things we also have to put in there, I think it's called malware, but it's like spyware. Yeah, or anti-spyware. You have to put things in there so that if the computer gets a virus, if something is put in there that's wrong, something that could harm it, well, there needs to be a program that checks on that and prevents that from destroying the computer, from destroying your files, where all the work you've done is no longer there and available. Well, guess what? We have 12 billion brain cells. Our mind has to be programmed properly as well. And so how is your mind programmed? I want you to ask yourself, how is my mind programmed? I don't mean I'm asking myself that. I want you to ask yourself that as well. How is your mind programmed? Is it programmed worldly, or is it programmed Christianly, godly? And if you're unguarded, if you're undisciplined, then how can it be? How can you have a Christian mindset? And are we that way? Many times we are. We're unguarded in our thoughts. We're unguarded in what we see as we drive down the road or walk down the aisle in the grocery store checkout line. If we're unguarded, if we're unthinking, if we're undisciplined, That spyware can jump in. That virus can pop into our programming, to our mind, and that's what happens. In Philippians 4, see if we can flip over there. I think we have time. Maybe. Maybe not. We'll see. I'm not familiar with this Bible. It's a little different. It's a little bigger. So I've got to get over to the right spot. But if we can get over there to Philippians, there we are. Chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4. I'd give you the page number, but that wouldn't do you any good if you don't have this same Bible. Philippians 4, verse 8 says, and now, my friends, all that is true, all that is noble, all that is just and pure, all that is lovable and gracious, whatever is excellent and admirable, fill all your thoughts with these things. With these things. And that's what we are to do. And when we think about these things that are true and noble and just and pure and lovable and gracious, and that should sound like it's real similar to the fruits of the Spirit. And the truth of His Word, the blessings that He has for us, the price that He paid for us, those are the things that we are to think on. Those are the things that we are to have our mind programmed with. And when we think about such things, we have to purposefully choose the right thoughts that nurture and grow our mind as a Christian mind. It's not like studying physics and just being a math nerd and doing nothing but physics all the time. It's not that at all. But it's in our going out and our coming in and our waking up and our going to sleep and in our time, as my time is here speaking on the radio and your time listening and our time joining on Sunday and our time with our spouse and with our children and at work. Are we thinking about these such things? Are we thinking about the love of Christ, where He says, love believes all? Are we believing all? To have a Christian life, remnant, we have to have a Christian mind. And a Christian mind requires discipline. It doesn't just happen. It requires discipline. Discipline of guarding our thoughts. Discipline of choosing to think the right thoughts. Discipline of choosing to read His Word. Discipline of choosing to share His Word. And I can tell you, part of it is choosing to turn that TV off. And that's a choice I hope you're making. I do. Can you have a Christian mind if you spend hours and hours putting that ungodliness and filthiness of Hollywood and the media into your mind and before your eyes? They call it programming. That's exactly what it is. TV programming. Well, we're wrapping up here tonight. Might have time for one more caller. Good evening. Welcome to 7x70.
Hi, Richard. You know, on a previous, well, I'll say this first off. You know, I am strictly not a King James onlyist.
No. Sure. We're not either.
You know, I mean, I use various different texts. They're, you know, because whatever makes you understand something the best, I guess, is what. But yet, you know, certain words have specific meanings. And in that previous verse that you said a couple back, in the King James, it says something quite different. It's worded, I beseech you, brethren, to present your bodies as a sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God. And that has a lot more feeling and meaning to it, because He's telling you specifically, your body has to be cleaned up, not just your brain, not just your thoughts, but that your body has to also be sanctified.
Our body is the temple, the Bible teaches us. And
they got
a
little bit lost in that.
Yeah.
In that.
It's Romans 12:1, and he says, therefore, my brothers, I implore you, and again, this is the New English Bible, so it's one that we've had back here for years, anyway, but it says, therefore, my brothers, I implore you by God's mercy to offer your very selves to Him. And you know, brother, that's one great example of why we should have different translations, so that we can read, and because you're right, you get a whole different meaning, present your very body. So what are we not to do? We're to honor our body, we're to respect it, we're not to fill it with junk, and because it is the temple.
You can't be sitting in your body.
Right. We're not
to
be sinning.
Well, it's just my body, not my brain.
Yeah, we're not to be sinning in our body, in the flesh or in the thought. Well, hey, thanks for that comment. Great comment. Thanks, brother.
Good night.
All right. It's excellent, excellent comment. And we do encourage different translations. There's certainly some out there that are, the New International is not one we advocate. It is not. It just is, we don't. But the Today's English, the New English Bible, Today's English, the Holman Christian, the New American Standard, of course, is an excellent translation, the King James, the Amplified. If you have some time to read some extra words sometime, read an Amplified. Read verses in that, and it, because it does that. It amplifies the meaning. It really gets the meaning across. Well, that's all the time we have tonight. Remnant, I thank you for tuning in. We sure thank you for those of you that pray for us here at Scriptures for America. Know that if you let us know, we will sure pray for you. And those that have let us know, those that are part of our ministry, part of our church, our congregation that that support us here, we sure pray for you. Those that request prayer for the Wednesday night prayer meeting or the prayer chain, we pray for you. We ask that you pray for us as well. And I encourage you to have that godly discipline. Think Christianly. How about that? Think Christianly. Might not be proper English, but I think it gets the point across. Think Christianly. Hope you're reading your Bible. We're in Psalms this week. I encourage you to read Psalms 35. If you're down in the dumps, if you have those, if there's those out there coming against you, read Psalms 30. We're in 33 through 35 today. It is truly an encouragement. It really is. Thanks for joining us. And our address again, if you want to write, is Scriptures for America, P.O. Box 766, LaPorte, Colorado, 80535. And if you want to send an email, our email is preacher@sfaw.org. That's preacher@sfaw.org. Thanks again for tuning in. And join us Saturday morning for coffee with the Radio Ranch Rangers.